Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, Wintuna Church. It is great to be here with you at church in person. I do want to welcome also those who are joining us online. And yes, it is April. Wow, time goes very quickly, doesn't it? We have started to kind of change gears at Wintuna. We've gone through our resilience series. I hope you all enjoyed it. But now we're getting into a very special period of the year, which is coming close to the Easter period. And as Yoshi has said, we've got a lot of things planned at church. We've got the Easter program, which is next week, which is a week before Easter. And then, of course, we have the Big Camp live stream streaming from Lilydale. We're going to have it opened here at the church on the Easter weekend. So we do invite you all to come and be a part of this. But today, I have a very special opportunity to share with you in communion. And maybe there have been a lot of people who haven't done this before or have forgotten what to do because it has been a long time. So I'll kind of take you through that, but what we'll do is we'll have a very quick, brief message, and then we'll get into what we call the service of humility, which is foot washing, and then we'll partake in the communion service after that. So before we start, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads as we invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much just for being such an amazing God that we serve. And Lord, as we go through this time of reverence, this time of remembering why you came, why you died, and why you rose again, we pray that we can share in that beautiful picture. So I pray that what we have shared today in the communion, in the service, may we be able to be blessed today is our prayer in your name. Amen. Now, again, we have certain things planned for the next 2 weeks, but I just want to use today to set the scene, to get you into the mood of Easter. And I want to invite you to a story that happens just before Jesus is crucified. Now, a lot of people with this moment in the Bible actually think that it may have just been added on top because it kind of stops the narrative at play. If you read the Gospels and you have a look at the events leading up to the crucifixion, there is a moment, an event that happens that a lot of scholars actually believe may have been added because it is just so different to the rest of the story. Now, of course, we know that's not true because different Gospels have the same account of the story, but it kind of allows you to stop and pause in the moments before Jesus is crucified. So I invite you to open your Bibles. We're going to be just in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 15 to 21. This is the story of Pilate and Jesus. And it's a story that many of us may recognize. You've probably seen this in a lot of Easter shows, movies, kind of the reenactment of the scene. But I want to share with you something that you may have missed in this story because it is a bit of a glimpse, but I want to focus on that glimpse today. Matthew 27, verses 15 to 21. Just to set the scene, we have Jesus going between two people. We have Caiaphas and Pilate, and nobody knows what to do with this man, Jesus. Nobody knows whose jurisdiction he lies under. No one wants to deal with this man because they can't find any fault in him. And so this is where we find Jesus back with Pilate, and we read on in verse 15 of Matthew 27. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that he had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife said to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Now, here we can actually see a glimpse into this story where Jesus is standing up basically in front of everyone, and Pilate wants to know what to do with him. And it says there in that first verse in 15 that it was a custom to allow prisoners to be let free during this time of Passover. Now, Passover for the Jews is a very big event. It's probably the highlight of their yearly festival calendar. And so we have many people coming in from different places, coming to share in this custom of Passover together. And it wasn't weird for the Roman authorities to release a prisoner to kind of quell the crowds, to make sure that they didn't get too rowdy, to show that they were on their side and that they were going to do something that was going to be nice to them. But Pilate had this problem, Jesus, and he didn't know what to do with him. So he thought, you know what? I want to get home to the 6 o'clock news. I want to get home to my family. I want to wash my hands clean of this man. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pit him next to one of the most notorious men there is, Barabbas. And we can get this over and done with quickly. This is a simple, easy equation to do. Everyone's going to choose Jesus and they can go home. It's interesting when you see how Matthew talks about Barabbas as notorious, because in the other Gospels, they say something's a little bit worse than that word. See, notorious kind of has a positive and a negative at the same time. But here you have in Mark, he calls him a murderer. In John, he is called a bandit. In Luke, he is called an insurrectionist or a revolutionary. So he was a pretty big figure. And it was a bit of a no-brainer to these Jews to say, hey, choose the guy that has no problems, right? Choose Jesus, who hasn't done really anything wrong. And even his wife talked to Pilate and said, have nothing to do with this just man, let him go. And so Pilate asked the question, which of these two do you choose? Have you ever felt like you were about to do something bad and it was going to happen, but you had no power to stop it? I remember when I was young in New Zealand, I was about 15, and we had a lake that we had to bike past every day to get to school and back. And this time that we were going back from school, the lake was totally empty. There was no one there. And there was a bunch of us, five boys, and when boys see an empty park, they want to have some fun. And so we were biking past, and there was this huge dirt hill that went down, and we're all on our bikes, and we've always wanted to go down that hill because there was no one there, no one would get hurt, we could have some fun on our own. And so we all lined up at the top of the hill, and just before we were going down one by one, I realized something. I realized my bike didn't really have good brakes. And you're sitting there with all your friends and you can see them, they're about to do something, and you know in your heart that something bad is going to happen, and yet you have no power to stop it. And so we lined up there, and my three mates at the front went down this hill, they're having lots of fun. And everyone knows you don't want to be the last one to do things. So I made sure I wanted to be the second to last person going down this hill. And as I came down this dirt hill on my bike, you know how when you're about to crash and the world stops? You've ever had that feeling before and things just go in slow motion? And you can recount about 1 second of life and split it up to about 5 minutes of retelling of the story. Well, that's how I felt. Because as I was coming down the hill, there were these two posts and I was aiming for the middle so I could go right through. But about a split second before, I realized there was a metal chain in between the two posts. And there was a metal trash can right behind it. Has anyone flew before? Has anyone ever flown before? I have. And it felt like forever. I hit the chain and I flew off my bike. I had my helmet on and I missed the metal trash can by that much. And I remember this story. Because the whole time in my mind, it's kind of like my body and my brain were two different things. And I just stood back and I watched my body do the silly thing and I had no power to stop it. Pilate was almost in the exact same scenario. Here he thought he had an easy win, but once the crowd started shouting, Barabbas, it's like all the events were outside of his control and he knew something bad was going to happen. but he had no power to stop it. Now, we know the story, but I just want to share with you something that's a little bit more of a spotlight on the names, because names are very important for Hebrews, for Jews. The name Barabbas, in the ancient text, scholars believe that it was actually Jesus Barabbas. Now, if you split up that name, Jesus means Savior, Bar means son, and Abbas or Abba is father. Literally speaking, the name Barabbas in the ancient text translated as the Savior, the son of the father. Barabbas? Have you ever thought of him in that light before? In fact, you've got two people on the stage and you think that it's an easy choice. You've got this insurrectionist, this murderer, and Jesus, this perfect being. And yet the names speak of truth, that Barabbas meant more than just some flawed individual. He was a son of a father. In fact, he was a fake Messiah. He was a fake Savior. And so here, from a theological perspective, we have these two people, Barabbas, who, in all intents and purposes, is a man that will do what you need to do. What type of Savior were the Jews looking for at the time? Were they looking for someone who was going to come and heal them and save them from their sins? No, they wanted someone that was going to rise against the Romans, someone powerful, someone of the tribe of Judah, who was going to be of the son of David, someone powerful and strong. Barabbas, he's strong. He's done things. Sure, he's flawed, but he's done the things that we need, right? And then you've got Jesus on the other side who, he's just going to forgive our sins. He's going to be nice. He's going to be compassionate. He's going to spread the gospel. But who needs that in a time when the Romans have the Jews in captivity? What man would you choose if you were standing there and you were a Jew in the crowd and you saw these two people and they asked you, who would you choose out of these two men? We think it's easy 2,000 years later looking at the scenario, and yet we shouldn't be too surprised that the crowd chose Barabbas. You know, this scenario is played out in our lives every day. The choice between Jesus or Barabbas. The choice between the short-term, good, feeling, powerful, this is the one that we should choose, or Jesus, long-term gain, happiness, beautiful life. And yet for some strange reason, when we look at those two choices, most of us choose Barabbas. Why do we choose him? Why is he so enticing? More than Jesus. He's perfect. And yet when we look at his name, Barabbas, son of the father, we start to realize that Barabbas is not just a man in history, but he's all of us today. Barabbas represents us. Because we are put on stage with Jesus every day and we always choose ourselves over him. So many times we have the choice to choose Christ in the decisions that we make day to day, and for some reason we choose Barabbas. We choose me. We choose what I think is good for my life. And this event that's taking place seems so simple when we look at it from a historical perspective, but when you see it take place in your own life, it shows more meaning. Barabbas, this flawed individual, you start to realize he starts to look like you and me. Because we have this murderer, this sinful person, and we have this perfect person like Jesus. And if you pit them together, having someone perfect like Jesus next to Barabbas makes you look even worse. And yet, that's what happens. When you are faced with Christ in front of you, you realize how imperfect and sinful you really are. We are all Barabbases. And would you, as a Barabbas, just thinking about the historical documents in the Bible, we don't really know what his reply was, what he did when the crowd was chanting his name and left Jesus up there on the stage to be killed. But I could probably safely say that he wasn't that thankful to Jesus.
In fact, he probably didn't attribute his life being saved to Jesus at the time. He probably thought it was the people chanting his name. And yet you can imagine Jesus standing there, not saying a word, looking at Barabbas and loving him with all his heart. That scenario touches me, not only from a historical perspective, but because I'm Barabbas. And every time I choose myself, I am, figuratively speaking, putting Jesus back on that cross for the sins that I commit. And so when we have here a time where we can come together and celebrate Christ's death, we're going to be doing that for the next 3 weeks. But today is a very special day because it helps us understand that this scenario playing out in front of us is not just a historical time. It's a scenario that plays into our hearts every day. And Jesus is the only one that can save us from our sins. And he sits there patiently and silently, not asking for any pride, any people to say, well done, Jesus. He just sits there and he loses his life on the cross because he loves us no matter who we are. Doesn't matter if you are the worst sinner in the world. Doesn't matter if you think you're the greatest. Jesus died for you and he stood there and watched you walk off stage saying, I have life. Even if you don't give any credit back to him, he still loves you. And he would still give his life for you again. Jesus should have all of the praise for what he has done. And so today, as we go through communion and we go through the ordinance of humility with the foot washing, may we be able to see ourselves as Barabbas, as the son of the Father, because we are all sons and daughters of the Father. And we are all flawed. But the reason why we have eternal life, the reason why we have freedom, is because Jesus stayed back. And he allowed himself to be hung on a cross so that we could live and have eternal life. And I praise the Lord for that. Let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you so much. We want to thank you that you gave your life for us, even for a man like Barabbas, a murderer who didn't deserve anything, and yet you gladly stood there and you gave him life so that you could lose it. And Lord, we want to thank you so much that you've done that for all of us here. As we go through this very special service, may we be able to humble ourselves, to be a servant like you were, and to know that this freedom you have granted us has come at a great cost. So I pray that you be with each person here in the church and online as we go through this time. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Now, as Yoshi has said, we haven't done this for a while, so let me just explain to you what happens, especially those I'm looking around who haven't even been a part of a communion service before. We first do the ordinance of humility, because Jesus did that before, during Passover, before his death. And so we're going to split up into three groups. The ladies will go into the juniors' room, and the deaconesses will show you where that is down the hall. And for the men and the couples, will be split up in the main hall out the back. Once we've finished, we're going to come back, and during that time, by the way, there's going to be something for the children. We're going to have a children's story. I think Scott's got something prepared as well, or Joe. And so online, you'll be able to see that too. We'll come back, and then we'll do the bread and the grape juice. And just to give you a bit of advice, there are a lot of different reasons why people do communion and take part of the bread and the grape juice. Let me just put your mind at ease. We welcome anyone who has given their heart to Christ to partake in the service. And so if you believe that you are giving your life to Christ or have already, you can be a part of this service together. So we invite all to come back, but we'll split up for the foot washing now, and we'll see you back very, very soon. Thanks.